You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
The 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. A man who will be co-hosting with us the rest of the week, starting tomorrow, is with us now. Our buddy Michael Bumpus is here. Bump, how are you, man?
I'm all right, guys. How you guys doing today?
We're doing good. We look forward to spending some time with you this week, and this is a good warm-up for us. You can get used to, you know, sitting in the chair that Jim sits in, and maybe you can adopt some of his logic and his wisdom and pass it on the way that he does. What do you think?
Hey, big shoes to fill, but I got his back. I'm a Cougs. You know how we do.
Yeah, I know you do. I
no
know
Cougs,
you do.
Bump.
Hey.
No
Cougs. Hey, so before we get into football or anything else that's going on, obviously everybody has seen what's transpired over, you know, the last week. It's hit a crescendo over the weekend. It's still ongoing now with the protests and the riots, and we've heard and read a lot of really good things. I mean, we played Ray Roberts' statement this morning, which couldn't have been more powerful and poignant and on point. Just give me your reaction to what you've seen out there, maybe some things you've heard from athletes, entertainers, politicians, I don't know, something that's just caught your ear and maybe inspired you. Look at it a little bit less in a less bleak situation than it is. I mean, it's awfully dire and ugly, but I think there are some positives in this when we've seen some positive interactions.
Yeah, first, let me say big ups to Big Ray, man. I've listened to that a couple of times now, and I feel like he articulated how he felt and what the situation is beautifully. Second, you know, there's a bunch of negative going on, and people aren't making this negative up. It's real. It's America right now. It's been America for a long time. I think people are just starting to really pay attention to it because of just the world we live in today. You can't escape it now. You know, you might have been able to turn a blind eye years back and not believe what's going on, but now there's no denying it. It's out there, and people are forced to confront it now. I'll start with the positives, especially in Seattle. You know, I've had people who are, or I know people who have been down in Seattle during the protest when it was peaceful, and you hear them talk about it, and they said it was powerful. It was a movement. It was a moment in time that they'll never forget. It was groundbreaking. They felt like, you know, they were a part of something. And what I appreciated about the protest was that it wasn't just black folks out there, man. I mean, it was white, Asian, Latin. I saw dang near everything out there. And that was beautiful because people are uniting to bring awareness to an issue that has been happening for a long time. But because of the age of social media and cell phones and the internet, it's just out there. So the positive is that, especially these young people, these 25 to 30, I mean, they're the ones really leading the charge in this. And they really have to because it's hard to change older folks. It is what it is, you know. But these young people are coming out there and they're being heard. So there's a lot of positive going on. And I encourage people, when you are passing judgment on whatever movement you think it is, the Black Lives Matter movement, the just George Floyd, everything that's going on right now, you have to try and realize that as a black person in the USA, my reality is different. Everyone's reality is different. But when I say my reality is different, I say that ever since I was 12 years old, I've been a threat. I've been treated like a threat. Ever since I was able to leave my neighborhood and walk around and hang out with my boys, strangers treated me as a threat. Women clenching their purses and walking across the street, or grown men making comments to me, the police slowing down every time they see me walking down the street. I'm getting pulled over constantly when I first got my license. So this is reality. Like, no, we're not, no one's making this stuff up. And I think for years, lots of years, people were able to kind of sweep it under the rug because it was a story. There was no real evidence to what was going on. But now people are seeing it at an alarming rate. And I think Will Smith said it the best, man. He said racism isn't getting worse. It's just getting filmed now. There's no running from it. So, I mean, honestly, I felt a lot of emotions. You know, I've been angry. I've been sad. I've been encouraged. I've been disappointed. I've been confused. You know, all these emotions that I've been going through my body, and it's taken me a while to kind of sit down and try to articulate, especially for my kids. Because I want my kids to see what this country is right now, what this country is going through, you know, from Seattle to L.A. to Houston to Dallas, Miami, New York. Everyone's getting involved in this. And there's no denying that there's a problem with people of color, especially black men, and law enforcement. And it's been that way for hundreds of years. This isn't new. You know, it might be new to some folks because they're like I said, they're being forced to confront this. But this isn't something new. You know, people haven't been crying wolf all these years. There is a deep-rooted problem with this system. And what we need now is for people with influence, people with platforms like 710, to speak out and continue to make people aware. And for those people who are in positions of power, to use that power to deconstruct this thing. I mean, I'm not playing with you guys, fellas. I've been pulled over 30 to 40 times in my life. Probably gotten a ticket about, 6 to 10 times, you know? But that's just my reality. That's just the way this thing has been set up. So, but together, you know, but I'm still optimistic. I'm still positive. You know, I think that there are enough people out there who are forward-thinking, who are all about equality, who are going to fight to get this thing right. So let's not focus on just the bad seeds out there, the guys who are messing things up, who are turning a protest into a riot and all that stuff. Like, you know, it's focused on the good. There's a lot of good out there, but it's out there now. You know, it's been out there, and it's all about addressing it and how you move forward.
Hey, Bump, I loved, you know, with all of the frustration and everything and all the emotions that you went through over the weekend, your tweet this morning, which I'm not on Twitter, but I'm reading it anyway. There's a lot being said and done across the country right now. I just want to say good morning to all my fair, honest, humble, caring, insightful, loving, righteous, optimistic people out there, even you Huskies, even threw a little bit of humor in there. Here we go. Have a good day. I thought that was really awesome. And I don't know, it was uplifting to me anyway.
Yeah, I kind of just felt like, you know, people need to hear that. You know, I'm looking at Twitter feed, I'm looking at IG, and rightfully so. People need to be discussing these issues and putting it out there. But every now and then I felt like, you know, some positive needs to be put out to the universe as well. You know, no denying what's going on, but how do we move forward? And, you know, I chose that day just to start the day positive, and hopefully it rubbed off on somebody and then they rubbed off on someone else. You know, it's a chain reaction. So, man, I'm just trying to do my part, man. That's all I'm trying to do. I've been blessed to be able to get on the air with you guys and talk about some things, and why not show some love, you know?
Michael, what are your biggest concerns for your kids growing up?
My biggest concern would be just for them to be misunderstood, you know, to be judged by their cover and not by who they are. And the fact that their cover means something negative to a lot of people, it worries me, you know. I got to get my kids ready. They're going to leave one day. They're not going to be quarantined on this block anymore. They're going to go out with their friends and ride their bikes and stuff. So, my biggest fear has just been teaching them how to react and to respond when they're being treated unfairly. And that's just something I have to do. That's something my mom did with me. That's something, her parents did with her and so on. That's just that's just part of it, you know? So just making sure my kids are aware that there is evil out there, and when you do encounter it, you know, how do you behave? How do you counter that? And just making sure that they get home safely, man. That's my main concern. When they leave, when they go somewhere, just make sure you make it home safely.
Michael Bumpus is our guest here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. Michael, I was telling these guys in an email last night that anytime an athlete, an entertainer, a musician, actor, what have you, a celebrity of any kind expresses an opinion that differs from somebody else, obviously, they'll get the classic lazy response of stick to sports, stick to music, stick to acting, stick to whatever their profession is. And I look at that and I'm just like, what does that even mean? What are you talking about? Like their opinion is less valid because they have a spotlight on them. Should somebody say to you, stick to accounting or stick to truck driving or stick to whatever it is you do for a living, as if they're not citizens in this country witnessing the same things. And I feel like that's made some athletes maybe reluctant to share an opinion. And, you know, Jordan is a guy who's taken a lot of heat in the past for not, you know, expressing views in politics or whatever, and he came out with a statement, which for him is a big deal. Have you ever been reluctant because of your profile to I guess, take a side? And what do you think the role of an athlete, an entertainer, somebody with that spotlight is? Do you feel like they should stay in their lane, as people like to say, when they express an opinion they don't like?
No, I think people should talk about what's passionate to them, you know, what's important to them in their lives. You talk to me, my passion is my family. It's sports and it's my community, you know? So when people say that, it means that they identify that person as just that. They forget that they're fathers, their husbands, their sons, their brothers, you know, and they're black men, they're white men, they're Latin men, they're Asian men. Like there's more to it than just what you're allowed to see in a person. So when seeing a person, when they play on a TV screen or something. So when people say that, it just means they're narrow. They think narrow. And if that's the case, then they should just stick to whatever they do, like you said, an accountant or whatever. But that's not what this country is about. You should be able to express yourself. And I encourage people to express themselves. If you're passionate about something, you go ahead and do it. As far as me, you know, I've never, honestly, this is the first time in my life, I'm 35 years old, first time I've ever had to really come out publicly and speak about something like this. You know, I remember like growing up in LA 92 with the riots. I was young, you know what I mean? So I didn't really completely understand what's going on. So when this went down and I was asked to come on a couple of shows, you know, I'm like, damn, this is the first time I've had to do it. And I wasn't reluctant. You know, I felt that, I would be passionate. I would speak from the heart and I would speak from experiences. And I think when people hear someone speak from experience and they speak from the heart, they can feel it and they know when it's real. You know, you might not agree with what I'm saying or my thoughts and stuff, but you know that is real and you know that it comes from a place of passion and that I really care about this. So it's worth a listen. You know, I don't like all country music, man, but it's worth a listen every now and then because they hit you with knowledge, you know what I mean? So you just got to give people a chance, man, and just try to understand and not just listen to respond and get your point across.
Hey, Michael, there's been a few, you know, tweets out there from players, and you know this like I do. The question is, why can't it be more like a locker room? You know, it's interesting hearing that because, yeah, that, I mean, to me, that was, you loved everybody and you were, you know, yeah, you would have disagreements and things like that, but it always seemed to be solved in a good way. And it just seems like that's a good lesson for people, you know, where if you can navigate a locker room for, you know, like I did for 9 years, I mean, it teaches you lots of good lessons about caring about other people.
Yeah, man, Dave, you're right, man. The locker room is a beautiful place, man. I mean, you got guys from Cali, Florida, Nebraska, Texas, black, white. I mean, you learn so much. I mean, my first time in a really diverse locker room was in college when I go to Wazoo and, you know, just the demographic is just different. You get to learn from people. You know what I mean? You get to learn about what life is like for them. And once you start learning about somebody and you like their personality, you have no other response but to start caring for them and what they believe in. I think that in a locker room. It's just everyone's working towards this one goal. That's to win football games. And I think that as a society, we've lost sight. You know, what's the point of this? For everyone just to live a happy life, man. I mean, end of the day, forget the money, the cars, all that stuff. What do you want? You want to wake up and be healthy and just be happy and watch your kids grow if you have them, if not, and just live a happy life. And the way things are going now, everybody's not living a happy life. And I know that's the Miss Universe pageant question, you know, world peace and stuff and all that. And is that ever going to happen where it's peaceful across the board? Probably not. But if we're working towards it, you know, if we're trying, then we're giving ourselves a chance. So I think that's just what it is, Dave, man. You in that locker room, we're all trying to win ball games. You know, we got to get everybody in this country in the same locker room. And let's go win this ball game.
Michael, what really stood out to me from Ray Roberts when he spoke with Danny and Gallant this morning was talking about it being every single day of his life dealing with these types of issues. And Gabe Marks, CougFan.com, the former Cougar receiver, writing a really powerful column saying the same thing. Is this part of your life too?
Oh, yeah, every day, man. Till this day, I'm blessed that I live in a small town. And really, there ain't too many brothers out here. So when I go out, a lot of people know, yeah, that's Coach Bunk, you know. But, you know, when you venture out, you know, I like Ray said, Ray makes some great points, man. You know, my daily interactions with folks who don't look like me are making sure I make eye contact with them, smiling at them, you know, making sure that they feel comfortable. Like I'm not this stereotype that you think I am. Or honestly, man, when the police get behind me, I expect to get pulled over till this day. I just expect it because it just happened. You know, it's happened so many times in my life, you know, and just making sure that I don't look like a threat to people, you know. And granted, I'm a happy person in general. You know what I mean? I love people. I like to talk. I like to communicate. But it's definitely something that's on my mind when I go out or when I interact with people is making sure people are comfortable. And I just smash every stereotype, every negative stereotype that's out there just about either just athletes or men, black men, whatever it is, whatever stereotype it is, you know, just to kind of smash it and do that genuinely and be myself while doing it. So it's the everyday thing, you know, and it ain't going to stop, you know. My kids are going to have to go through it. But hopefully after all this madness, that gets better and generations after us don't have to worry about the things that I worry about when I leave the house.
Hey, Bump, what kind of an impact do you think celebrities and athletes actually have when they make speeches or statements? And I'm all for it. I am absolutely on board with you know, whether it's you or Ray or Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick, whoever, you know, expressing their thoughts in whatever form they choose to do it. I'm just curious if you think it does it just, you know, float out into the ether and it disappears? Do you think it changes anybody's mind or helps somebody see how you see it? I'm just always curious. I mean, I watched Killer Mike, who's a hip hop star, who's incredibly intelligent and always interesting. And he had such a great speech that he made the other night. And I'm thinking, man, I hope people actually hear this and listen to it. Or if they just blow it off and yeah, that was fun. And they move on to something else. I mean, it's probably a hard question to answer, but just the impact of somebody that has a profile using it in that sense.
Yeah, but I think when celebrities and athletes speak and they have a message that they're trying to put out there, that message has more of a chance initially because they're going to be able to speak to a demographic that maybe a black kid in Compton who's just on TV speaking is not going to relate to a bunch of people. You know, who is this guy? Or even a white kid from Nebraska, he's out there speaking. No one really identifies with him. Who is this guy? So when you get celebrities out there and they're using their voice and they're getting a message out there, they have a chance just to connect with more people. Now, will they connect with everyone? No, that's not how this thing works. You know, will they change a few minds? I'm sure they will. So I like when they speak out because, again, they have a platform. They can reach so many people. You know, right now we're probably reaching a few thousand people, you know, and that's more than I would reach if I were just standing on my block, you know, talking to my neighbors. I still reach people, but I wouldn't give the masses a chance to hear a message. And that's all you want. You want people to hear a message, and hopefully you articulate that message in a way that makes them understand or try to understand or want to understand. And even if you don't agree, try to understand. You know, even the evil things in this world, I try to understand why that person is that way, or why this situation is that way. So I'm all for people speaking out. If you can touch and influence people in a positive way, I'm all for it, man. Stand on that mountaintop and say it loud.
Bump, we appreciate you, man. We want you to stay safe out there. Obviously, the virus is still a thing that's going on, and we'll hopefully all of these gatherings don't lead to a spike everywhere that it's going on. So we'll see how that goes. But we look forward to having you sit in for Jim the rest of the week. And take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
All right, talk to you tomorrow, Jim. Hit them straight, baby. Hit them straight.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
It's a good thing he told you that, Jim. Otherwise, you would have just been shanking them left and right, right?
Probably will anyway.
Bump's always good, man. He'll be sitting in with us the rest of the week as Jim takes a vacation, gets some golf in under his belt. We're going to come back. NFL.com has Chris Carson ranked in the top 10 most explosive runners in the league. Do you agree? We'll talk more about that coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up in less than 15 minutes, Bobby Wagner spoke with the media today. We'll get into a few of the things that he had to say with Bob, Dave, and Moore. But another list comes out. This is the time of lists, guys, where there's not a lot happening, and you see quarterback lists and team power rankings and, you know, all that good stuff. And now NFL.com has done their most explosive runners list. And I'm sure you guys have looked at the link. It's not limited to just running backs, because the guy that they've got topping that list is a quarterback, Lamar Jackson. And it's hard to disagree with that. Now, I guess you do have the advantage of being a quarterback, having the option of throwing the ball, which will tend to keep a defender at bay for a bit. So you tend to pick up bigger chunks of yardage. But, I mean, I'm not trying to take away his – he had runs of 10-plus yards 47 times, 10-plus run percentage of 26.7. And this gets into the stat head part of football, 15-plus mile per hour percentage, 52.8. So he's running open, running free, and running fast is Lamar Jackson. So you go down this list, Dalvin Cook is number 2 from the Vikings. Number 3, Raheem Mostert from the 49ers. Number 4 is Kenyon Drake from the Cardinals. Number 5, they've got Aaron Jones of the Packers. Number 6 is Philip Lindsay, the little guy out there in Denver. Number 7, Marlon Mack of the Colts. Todd Gurley is number 8. I was surprised to see him that high on this list, considering we all look at him as a guy in the decline, but he's number 8. Number 9 is Christian McCaffrey. Number 10, this has got to put a smile on Dave Wyman's face, Chris Carson. How about that?
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, they didn't leave him out because he's hurt, you know, and he just got better and better and better. And last year, talked about this last week, I saw him do some things that I didn't think he had in his tool bag. I mean, outrunning a corner, there was I think it was the Rams game on Thursday night where a corner had force, which means you're the guy who turns everything back inside. He was head up with Chris Carson, and Chris just hit the gas and made the corner on him. And I remember thinking, oh, no, don't do that. He's going to, and he just ran right past him. So we've seen him jump over people. We've seen him run through people. Maybe one of the biggest hits that I saw all of last year was the collision with Devin White, the linebacker with Tampa Bay, who later on made him fumble. But man, he saw him just free in the hole, and he was like, "I'm gonna run this guy over." And it was a huge collision. I have to say I was pretty impressed by White because he was able to kind of hold his ground. But you could just hear the crack of the helmets up in the booth, and there's so many things that he can do. He's exactly what they want as far as they want a punishing running game. but he's also got great shake. He makes people miss. He's just, he gets better every year. I really hope that this hip injury doesn't slow him down, because a lot of times, you know, going into the off season, you want to start training and not rehabbing so much, which I was the king of rehabbing. But, you know, you want to work on your game, and I'm hoping that that doesn't affect him from the standpoint of being able to pick up right where he left off.
Well, yeah, you certainly hope so. I'm just looking at his stats, and it's a contract year for Chris Carson, so it's a big year personally for him, and we've all seen how productive he can be in the 3 years he's been here, and going over 1,200 yards last year and in 15 games, and then 1,151 the year before that. So, you know, I hope that he puts the Seahawks in a position on whether to franchise tag him or not at the end of the year, and like you're saying, Dave, you hope he returns from that hip injury. I get a kick out of how they're measuring these different things. And Bob, you said Todd Gurley being number 8 on this list. A little surprising to see Christian McCaffrey number 9. I would say that he looks a little low on that list. But percentage of runs of 15 miles an hour or more, Chris Carson, 18%. He had 50 runs where he ran 15 miles an hour or faster. Who's doing this stuff anyway? I mean, it's just wow. And then Lamar Jackson, 53% of his runs, he was going 15 miles an hour or more. I mean, Lamar Jackson looks like he's going 80 miles an hour sometimes. So I get that. But no,
how fast do you think you could run, Jim?
How fast could I run right now?
Yeah.
Boy. Well, okay, I got a quick little story to tell you. I jogged and walked today 8 miles, and it took me 2 hours and 15 minutes. So can you figure that out? Do the math.
No. I don't want to attempt to do that. I'm sure one of our listeners will, but it's funny when you say like 10 miles an hour, 15, you think of being in a car and you're like, man, I'm barely rolling. But when it's a guy running, you realize that's really freaking fast. And obviously we've seen receivers and guys run over 20 miles an hour in the league, which again, in a car, you feel like you're hardly moving, but it's amazing how fast some of these guys are. And again, I think Lamar Jackson, he gets that benefit of a head start, a lot of green grass between him and a defender. So he gets that head of steam versus a running back who's often running right into the line like Chris Carson, breaking a tackle before they can really hit that stride or, you know, get up to top speed, so to speak.
Yeah, I would say Carson, I think he's a good stop-to-go runner, but Marshawn Lynch was the best, I thought, at that, where a guy, he could either make like a lateral move or stop and hesitate and then just hit the gas. He was so good at that, and I think underrated from that standpoint. You know what I think whenever I see him, you know, doing the miles per hour, Bob? I think about at the Super Bowl when we went, and remember there was a radar gun on the bowling alley, and we were all trying to roll like the fastest, bowling ball. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do. That was
cool. It was like 21, 22 miles an hour or something like that. That's how Moyer fell on his back, by the way. He was trying to beat me as far as the speed, and then his finger got stuck in the ball. And then he went up in the air and slammed down on his back. And
I laughed. Oh, I would pay for that video.
Oh, my gosh. I could not stop laughing. It was embarrassing. But anyway, yeah, people were like, oh my God, he's still laughing. I'm like, yeah, I couldn't help it. But,
sounds yeah, like something you would see in a cartoon.
Oh, it was exactly like a cartoon. Like he was like horizontal and like suspended 5 feet in the air. And he hung there kind of like, you know, Wile E. Coyote. You remember in the Roadrunner cartoons? And he would wave bye bye and then fall, you know? Yeah, that's what Moyer looked like.
Well, it's suspended horizontally.
Dave, you were amused, but he wasn't, as I recall.
Well, he had a sheepish look on his face and everything, but I don't know if he got mad at me or not for laughing. But it was, you know, Paul's a prideful guy, and yeah, he was. Anyway, let's get back to Chris Carson.
Yeah,
Chris Carson. I just think he is like the perfect running back, man. I don't know. I guess I would take Christian McCaffrey, but I really like Chris Carson. And they wanted to get him 50 targets last year. He had 47 with 37 catches. And, you know, obviously he missed the last two games the last game and a half, I guess. But, yeah, he would have gotten there. So, they, you know, I always talk about how, you know, you're a running back. You start in the box – there's five linemen, a tight end, there's, you know, the front, and, you know, you're trying to find a place to run. If you run a swing pass, you're out there with a corner, and, you know, I would not want to be a corner trying to tackle Chris Carson, but he also's got enough speed to put moves on him. I just think he's such a gem, man. Seventh rounder. I mean, the whole thing is because he blew out his ACL in high school, and I admire that so much that he went to the junior college and then he went to Oklahoma State. He had an offer to running back U. He had committed to Georgia, and, you know, and then he had to go and take that route. And just also, he's just such a chill guy. Every time I see him, you know, one time we were out by the buses after one of the games, and there's like four buses sitting there. And he comes up to me, goes, "Hey, yo, do you know which one's number two?" And I was like, "Well, it's one of these four, Chris." He's like, "All right, cool, thanks, man." You know, this is like right after a game. I mean, he just always is just very calm, and the way he, you know, he's a very humble guy and everything. I love everything about that kid. That's the thing. I think him and Will Disley, to me, those two guys getting hurt, I just think there's a vastly, well, not vast, but there's a different outcome. I think they win an extra game. I think that they go further in the playoffs with those two players. So it's really huge for those two guys to come back, but especially Chris.
Yeah, and I appreciate when he was on with us addressing his fumbling issues, you know, head on and full accountability and all of that. I mean, that's the one outside of his health and just durability. That's the other thing. You look at him and go, okay, I need to see that cleaned up, because that happened too often. Even, you know, we know how much Pete amongst, you know, all the coaches out there, he seems to truly detest the turnover, and you can't have it. So, I love him like you do. Maybe not as much as you do, but I do love Chris Carson, and hopefully those two
superstar
things,
Jim.
The durability,
yes, he is,
and the
Dave,
fumbling
right
issues can
that.
Get fixed. All right. We'll come back. We'll hear a bit of what Bobby Wagner had to say to the media today. That's coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Bobby Wagner spoke with the media today. More of the Zoom calls. Wondering if this will be something that'll be in place when everything returns to normal, when hopefully there's a vaccine for the virus. I wonder if athletes will be like, you know what, let's just do the video thing. How about that? We don't need to do this in person. I don't need to be in front of these reporters. But anyway, this is how it's been going since the virus took place. And they had another Zoom media call out there, Bobby Wagner, talking about, you know, what's going on out there and what he's seen. And he said, cut number four, I want to start with that, because I guess he actually was part of the protest. We've seen some of the professional athletes, whether it's in the NBA or NFL, that have gone out there on their own to you know, be amongst the protesters out there. Cut number four, apparently he was out there until things got a little ugly.
I feel like this is a very interesting time right now. I feel like a lot of people are listening, especially in the white community, maybe. I'm not sure. But I think it's important that you try to get that knowledge. And I think that it's important that you reach out to your fellow Black members in the media to try to get that knowledge, because they always say, you know, knowledge is power. And I believe that, but I also believe that the ability to use and apply that knowledge is where the true power comes. So what's good in having knowledge if you ain't going to use it? So use the knowledge, see how you can help. And, you know, spread the message. I was there at the protest on Saturday, and it was very peaceful until, you know, some white people started burning up cop cars. So instead of reporting, you know, report the protest, the peaceful side of the protest as well. Report the people that are doing good, because there's a lot of people that's doing good out there. There's a lot of people that want to see the world change and don't want to see the world like this anymore. We want to feel good to have our kids in this world. And, you know, it has to mean something.
You know, and it's interesting talking about, you know, guys going out there and destroying cop cars. And man, anybody that's watched the news over the past few days, you see it from, you know, they're bouncing from city to city to city, showing different protests and different acts of violence and destruction. And it's clear there are people out there that, that want to send a message and they want to be heard and they are protesting peacefully. And then it's also very clear you can see people with probably not a thought in their head about what's being protested, about what they're protesting for, why anybody's there. They're there with an agenda to destroy, to vandalize, to steal. And it's sad because it gives everybody a bad name, sort of like a bad cop gives all cops a bad name. And it's just not true. You know, you tend to paint with broad strokes. The protesters are all doing this or the cops are all doing that. It's not all. It's never all. But unfortunately, that's where the focus goes. And you feel like maybe the message gets lost because the focus turns to, oh, these guys are smashing windows and tipping cars and stealing and all of that nonsense.
Yeah, it was sad to see that part. I saw a woman who was one of the organizers for Black Lives Matter, an African-American woman, and she was talking to, I think it was on Q13, just, you know, about how, you know, I never got really a chance to do it the way they wanted to, you know, and it was peaceful, like Bobby said, and then a bunch of clowns came in and just took it over. So yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah, you know, Bobby, he's a very quiet guy, but you know, he's very involved. I know this on the road, he wears on every game day, at least on the road. Anyway, I'm not sure about home games because I don't see him after. But you know, he wears black college sweatshirts. I saw him in a Howard University, Morehouse, and so you know, he's a guy at Florida A&M. I mean, he's very involved in things like that, and he does it in a real kind of quiet way. But yeah, he's a very intelligent guy, and it's kind of interesting to hear from him. I'm guessing in this this whole thing that he had today, probably didn't talk much about football.
No. I don't think he did at all, Dave. You know, and he even mentioned they had a virtual team meeting today and there wasn't any football discussed. They just wanted – it was an open forum for all the players to talk about their anger, sadness, emotions, whatever they were feeling. You know, one of the things that stood out to me is, DK Metcalf, he was on Twitter speaking out, felt like he needed to do a video. He wanted to at least tell everyone how he felt. He wanted black communities. He talked about continuing to fight and sticking together. This is a 22-year-old. And, you know, I mean, it's just it's so cool. And it can be anybody of any age. But it just struck me that, man, this is a young kid. But boy, what a mature way to respond the way he did on Twitter. And the same with Gabe Marks. I've been talking about him all day. If you haven't had a chance to read his column, I think you should take the time to do it at CougFan.com. And yeah, sometimes the message would get lost. You know, I would sit here over the weekend and go, man, why is there looting and why are they damaging all these places? And Gabe talked about the frustration of so many years of this going on and nothing changing. And it's not always, you know, I mean, some of this stuff was caused by white people, too. So I don't know. I really appreciate hearing from Ray Roberts today, speaking yeah, a so lot eloquently of it was. The way he did. And then Michael Bumpus too at 5 o'clock when we had him on, and it sure gives you a clearer picture of what's going on to be a black person living in society today. So what am I, 62 years old? I've probably been pulled over 10 times in my life by an officer, and every single time I've been pulled over, I deserve it because I'm speeding or I made a wrong turn or I did something stupid. But there, I mean, Bumpus is 34 years old and he's been pulled over 30 or 40 times. And out of those 30 or 40 times, I'm going to guess that he maybe was pulled over 5 to 10 when he should have. So it's just, it was, again, I said this earlier, but maybe there's some new listeners, you know, now. It's just an eye opener for me, everything that's happened.
Well, let's play that cut from DK Metcalf you just referenced. Cut number 2, DK with his social media post.
Breaks my heart that my uncles could go out into the world today and that could be them. And I wanted to say something because if I didn't, then I felt like I would be supporting it. And that's not right. That's totally not right. And I'm lost for words right now. But I listened to a Martin Luther King, "We Shall Overcome" speech, and he said in his speech, all here now, meaning in America we want all of our rights. We want them here in America, and we want them now.
So a little bit from DK that you just referenced there. And then one more I want to get in before the break, back to Bobby Wagner. Cut number five saying, you know, he feels like most people are probably with him and on his side. How would you feel if that had happened to him?
I feel like it don't really hit home until it happens to you. So, you know, in the media, man, I know I can't see everybody on this Zoom call, but I would go out on a limb and say, y'all rock with me. I'm pretty sure everybody on this call rock with me. So imagine if I was that person, you know, having a knee today, they neck. How would you feel? You know, we don't need, like, it don't need to happen to someone close to you for you to feel that way. And so, I just urge everybody to educate themselves. I urge everybody to, you know, figure out what we can do to make this better. I don't have all the answers. I'm hurting and pissed off like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great way to put it that, you know, it takes on a different life when you picture it happening to a family member, a close friend, somebody you just interact with at work, or even in that media player relationship. You're friendly with these guys, and then something like that would definitely take on a different life of its own. I think it's really hard to imagine being in those shoes, and that's why, you know, I don't think anybody's got the answer. I think dialogue is the answer. I think listening is the answer, or it's going to help you get to the answer, I should say. It's just how we've had some awesome texters in today, some of which said, man, I've had my mind changed. You know, Ray's speech really, really got me to look at this in a different way. I think just going in with an open mind and an open heart, and more importantly, open ears, I think can go a long way, because a lot of that is closed off for people.
Yeah, I agree. And I just thought what Ray said was, it was eye-opening, you know, and talking about, you know, the things that got to me again were his grandfather fighting in World War II for rights and freedom that he knew he would never fully get. And then just talking about his kids, and we heard the same thing from Michael Bumpus as well. And I couldn't imagine. And Bobby, that really hit me too. Like, what if that was Bobby? I was pissed off to begin with. But now it's somebody that you know, and that you know is, you know, a good person, and, you know, how, oh man. Yeah. So all of those things were really interesting, very, I would say educational, you know, that you think about it, but you don't think about it as much when, you know, when you're white, and, you know, for like Ray talking about, like, every day you're carrying that burden with you. So it kind of gave me hope that something good will come out of this, you know, and some change that we look back and go, wow, you know, a lot of us didn't realize, you know, back before this happened, just how serious this situation is.
All right, coming up next, one of my all-time favorite segments on this show. It is What We Learned, and it's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
Well, there's no question there was definitely learning taking place on this show today, as there is every day, but obviously today's show took on a little different meaning, some really good stuff. What did we learn today, DJ?
Well, first we learned that the general manager for the NHL Seattle team, Ron Francis, still will not reveal the team name.
But joining us now, he is the GM of the Seattle... Fill in the blank here, Ron Francis. Go ahead. Make it big. The GM of the Seattle...
Nobody wants that name out there more than I do, so I don't have to answer that question anymore.
Yet, he didn't fill in that blank, and I really... He's such a good guy to talk to. I look forward to talking to him more in the future, but I really feel like the organization... The Seattle NHL organization, whatever it's going to be called, is missing a great opportunity here. You really have a starved fan base, and I don't think you could ever have more focus on news coming out of your organization than you would right now.
Well, you know what? Maybe they were going to do it, you know, in the last few days, and you know, probably thought it wouldn't be the right time to do it now, right? You don't want to take any focus away from what's going on. You don't want to be the person that, you know, pulls that PR stunt. So that's probably, I'm hoping at least that's what it is. He's very, you know, good humored about it. And like I was saying to him later, I was like, hey, pretty soon, I didn't say it this way, but I was going to say, pretty soon you're going to be getting asked a lot tougher questions, you know, like, why aren't you going to the playoffs every year like the Seahawks have to answer? And so this will be easy for him, you know. He'll welcome this kind of a question later on 2 years down the road.
Okay, just real quick here. I'm looking back at the timeline. Todd Lewicki, the NHL Seattle CEO, said that we'd get the name in the spring of 2019. Then in May 31st of 2019, he said, you'll get the name sometime by the end of the calendar year. Then on August 22nd of 2019, he said the colors and logo and name would be revealed in early 2020. It's June of 2020. So it's not all of us being impatient just because we're impatient. We're impatient because they told us it was going to be coming out in the last 6 or 8 months. And I'm with you guys. I mean, I know there's a pandemic going on, but and Ron Francis talking about not wanting to be insensitive. Well, hell's bells, I don't really think it'd be insensitive. I think it would be great to announce it now and give everybody, you know, a happy story to talk about.
I agree with you, Jim. I think they've had plenty of opportunities since the whole virus thing took control and everything got shut down. I don't think it would have been in poor taste. Now, we're in a different time, obviously, with the protests and riots. But prior to this, there was you had months of just a sort of dead period in sports to really take the spotlight. I just feel like such a missed opportunity. What else?
Well,
we learn,
I wasn't talking about the coronavirus. I'm talking about what, you know, currently is going on. And
yeah,
you know,
I know.
That would have been a
and
bad,
I think you're right.
Bad form.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Now, if they did it, hey, it's coming out tomorrow. I think okay, that's a different story. But you had months before all of this was set off.
Right.
We're all at home. Everybody's sort of, you know, hunkered down. This would have been something for everybody to debate and chew on and look at the colors and you know, I love it, I hate it, whatever. I just think it's a missed opportunity. But anyway, what else did we learn, DJ?
We learned about Ryan Divish's analogy for the MLB owners and players.
Well, the players came back with a 114-game proposal and then the owners' counterproposal of 50 games. What do you think of the latest one?
It's like me trying to ask Anna Kendrick for a date right now. Neither side really thinks it's going to happen. I mean, honestly. This is so stupid.
He should have prefaced that with ever, not just right now, but ever. Let's be honest about his chances with Anna Kendrick. We love Ryan Divish, but that's not reality.
Oh, so that's his crush, huh? I had to look her up, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'd never heard of her, Dave.
All right, Divish.
You don't know who she is?
I saw her face, and
movies,
then
I guess so.
Yeah, that's true. But once I see her face, I recognize her from... Isn't she in a commercial?
Yeah, I mean, she's in a bunch of movies, but yeah, she does a commercial as well. I can't remember what the product is, once again, but yeah, she does commercials.
There she is, this accomplished actress, I'm sure, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I think I saw her in a commercial. That was yeah. Good. She'd love that.
Well, I Google-imaged her, and so she's on my screen right now. I'd give Divish a shot. I think he'd,
no
think
shot.
He'd have a chance.
None. No.
Why?
None. He's got none.
None? Why zero?
Yeah, I just think she's playing in a different league.
Why don't you just come out and say
small
it?
Small town Montana kid who covers the Seattle Mariners and loves dogs.
I think he's too grumpy. How about that?
Okay, there we go.
Fair enough. All right. I love Ryan. Don't try to get me to say something bad about him. I don't think any of us would have a shot.
That's where you're, just that's about where you're wrong, Bob. I can do this.
DJ, you're going to be the man to complete that mission?
Yep.
Okay. Good luck to you, man. You'll have my admiration, I'll tell you what. what else did we learn?
We learned how Paul Moyer fell on his back at the Super Bowl.
You know what I think whenever I see him, you know, doing the miles per hour, Bob? I think about at the Super Bowl when we went and remember there was a radar gun on the bowling alley and we were all trying to roll like the fastest, bowling ball. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do. That
I
was
think
cool.
It was like 21, 22 miles an hour or something like that. That's how Moyer fell on his back, by the way. He was trying to beat me as far as the speed, and then his finger got stuck in the ball. And then he went up in the air and slammed down on his back. And
I laughed. Oh, I would for like pay 12 for that minutes. Video.
Oh, my gosh. I could not stop laughing. It was embarrassing. But anyway, yeah, people were like, oh, my God, he's still laughing. I'm like, yeah, I couldn't help it.
I love your description of it, Dave, when you said he just kind of was suspended in midair horizontally with his finger still stuck in the ball, and then he went down. I'm picturing cartoons with Fred Flintstone or Peter Griffin or somebody like that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it was kind of like Wile E. Coyote when the Roadrunner would lead him off a cliff and he would hang there and wave bye-bye and then fall straight down. And the whole place was packed, so there's probably 25 lanes. And when he went down, the ball, like I said, was still in his hands, and it hits the floor really hard. He hits the floor, and Paul's, you know, couple hundred pounds, I'll give him a few there, and man, it was like everybody looked over there, and then, you know, everybody in the whole place is going like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Except for me. I am just doubled over
buddy.
In pain laughing. Oh my gosh, that's good. That's good stuff.
So I'm assuming you probably had tears too. You know, the thing is, I'm going to give Paul a little slack here. If you go past that foul line, it is extremely oily.
It's slippery.
It's like an ice rink.
It is,
God. Right. You don't know how badly I would love to see a video of that. That just sounds hilarious. Oh.
Me too.
Did we learn anything else, DJ?
That is all we learned today.
All right. On that note, that's a perfect way to end it. On that note, I want to thank our guests today, Ron Francis, Ryan Divish, John Clayton, and Michael Bumpus, and our buddy Ray Roberts, a fantastic statement that he made. I would definitely advise you to head to the podcast page and check it out. It was played on Danny and Gallant live, and then Tom, Jake, and Stacy reran it. We reran it as well. If you missed it, highly advise it. 710sports.com. Click the podcast button. Then click on our picture. Everything you missed is waiting for you right there. We appreciate all of the really cool, interactive, thoughtful texts we got today. Texters were really on their game today. Some really, really good stuff. So we appreciate you guys. We're going to be back tomorrow. Jim, have a great vacation, man.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Farewell. Yeah, Jim out. Jim is going to be golfing the rest of the week, and Michael Bumpus will be in tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Can you identify like your favorite movie of all time, or is it just too hard?
It's impossible. That's my least favorite question.
Yeah. Your least favorite question.
I hate that. I hate it so much.